Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. It is Sunday, April 18th, and it is Vav Sivan, it's the Earth site. I mentioned yesterday, I'm dictating on the same day, of my wife's grandmother, Aleha Shalom, Leah Korn, Leah Bas Yehuda Leib. Her neshama shel Aven Aliyah from all learning. We begin the Gemara today with the words Tanu Rabbanan. Yesterday we had a discussion which began talking about the placement of the mezuzah, and we'll spend a lot of today's shiur talking about mezuzahs. So we begin six lines from the top, Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, Tanu Rabbanan. The pasuk tells us, Bisharecha, Uchsavtom al mezuzos beisecha uvisharecha. Pasuk we say multiple times every day in the Kriya Shema. So it says, Bisharecha. What does that mean, Bisharecha? So the Gemara says, Echad Shari Batim. This comes to teach us that the gateways, the entranceways into your houses require a mezuzah. The echod shari chatzeros, likewise a chatzer, which is a larger area and courtyard that enters into different houses eventually, that requires a mezuzah on those gateways. The echod shari medinos, and even the shire for a medina, an entire area. Rashi tells us, the top Rashi, echod shari medinos, yesh medina mukefes harim. There are some countries that are surrounded by mountains. The Yarim that come up parasols, and they are actually very, very large. There are multiple parasols surrounding the area. And there's only one exit way because as there are mountains around it, so the only way to possibly exit is through these gateways. For example, this could go to Eretz Hagar, which many suggest is Hungary. So he says that these areas where you really have one entranceway into this entire state, so that also requires a mezuzah. The echashari yaros, even large cities that have one entranceway into the city, like they're a walled city and their gateways into the city, they all have an obligation to put up a mezuzah on their gates. That's based upon the possible. On all of your gates, the Meiri and the Rabbeinu Chananel say over here that this is based upon. You can see this is Rabbeinu Chananel. Shenemar ubisharecha al kol shar v'shar means bisharecha means plural, means every single gate entranceway into the city even has to have a mezuzah put on it. So that is what the Meiri and the Rabbeinu Chananel say. In the Tosfos Yeshanim, he brings out a little bit different, and he says that this is not based upon the plural lashon of Sharecha. You see this in the third of the wide lines in the Tosfos Yeshanim, the medium-sized line in the Tosfos Yeshanim, says, Yeshamayr shiny hocha d'sib trei v'sharecha. That's because we have it twice. At the end of the first parsha and at the end of the second parsha of Kriyat Shema. So he says it's based upon this double lashon that tells us even Sha'ari Ayaros. Even the entranceways into cities and your states require it. Mark continues and says, Amalei Abayi L'Rav Safra, Abayi says to Rav Safra, Hani Abulei D'Mechoza. Abulei, Rashi tells us, is Sharei Ir Sheshma Mechuza. The entranceway into the city known as Mechuza was called Abulei D'Mechuza. The entranceway, Abulei means the Shar, Vayiru Ben Yisrael. The people lived in Mechuza. It was mostly a Jewish city. So he says the entranceways into this city, the Abulei D'Mechuza, my time lo avdul hu rabban mezuzah. He says, how come there's no mezuzah on these entranceways? This should be, based upon the previous brisa, like Sha'arei Medinos or Sha'arei Ayaros. How come it doesn't have mezuzah? So that's what Abayi asked Rav Safra, responded, and he said, Amalei, hanu chizuk li akra dekubi hu diavide. Rashi explains that this is a binyan that was built, binyan banui aleihem, there was a building on top of them. And these gateways over here are really like a kippah, like a dome. Ubinyan habani al gabi kippin chazuk yosef. That's because the structure on the top of it will be sturdier when it's based upon some sort of an arc-shaped, a dome-shaped type of a structure. And therefore, he says that these gateways aren't really gateways. They're really support structures, and support structures don't need a mezuzah. Abayi doesn't accept that. Abayi says, wait a second, Amalei. The akra dekuve gufati by mezuzah. So why shouldn't it need a mezuzah, even though it's a support structure, but people live up there? As Rashi explains, mishum oso binyan atzmo, that building itself that's on top of these gateways, tibaye hashar mezuzah, it should require a mezuzah, shederech oso hashar nichnosilo, because you're going into this city through this shar. So how come it doesn't require it? Even though it's a support structure, but it's also an entranceway. So Gemara says, in this situation, he says, in addition, even though it's an entranceway into the city, it is also a place where somebody lives. So it should require it, even if it's not an entranceway into the city, if I'm understanding this question correctly, it should require a mezuzah just because there's a shomer, Beis Suasurim, the warden in charge of the jail, lived over there. D'atanya, and we learned in a brisa, a Beis HaKnesses, a shul, Sheish Bo Beis Diru L'chazen HaKnesses, that has the gabbai of the Knesses, the person over here who is in charge, L'chazen HaKnesses, didn't mean the chazen necessarily, and the person in charge of the shul. When I was growing up, there was a reverend in charge of the shul. He was the shamish. He would be like the equivalent of the executive director. And he lived in the shul. And he was the one who lived there. So if somebody is living in the shul, chayavis mezuzah. So then the shul needs a mezuzah because it's a dwelling place for an individual. So too, this Akra Dekubi had the shomer, the warden, who was in charge of the jail. So why doesn't it need a mezuzah? Because of that reasoning. So Abai says, you, Rav Safra, are incorrect to say that it doesn't need it because it's a support structure. And in fact, Elam Abai, the reason it doesn't get a mezuzah is Mishum Sakana, because there is concern over here, as based upon the following story, that the Goyim are going to think you're doing all sorts of kishuf, all sorts of black magic over here, and it's going to lead to a pogrom, Rachmana Litzan, it's going to lead to all sorts of troubles for the Jewish people. That's why they didn't put a mezuzah up there. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, mezuzas yochid nivdekas pamayim b'shavua. If a person has on his own house, he has mezuzas on the doors in his house, so he should check those mezuzas twice every 7 years, because there's a chance that they could erode, there's a chance that they could get rubbed out through the temperature, the weather, etc. So you have to make sure you still have a kosher mezuzah. So therefore, you have to go and check it twice in 7 years, which really means essentially every 3.5 years. People have the minog that they go check during the month of Tishrei, and people have the minog they go check during the month of Nisan. You alternate between those two every 3.5 years, because you're supposed to check yourself. Pesach, you're supposed to check for chametz. It means also to check yourself, and it means to go and check your mezuzahs, your tefillin, also are checked during that time. And during the month of Tishrei, you're supposed to go and also, or Elul, you're supposed to go and check yourself out to see if you're doing the right thing. So therefore, there's a minhag. Some people do this every 3.5 years. They alternate between Elul, Tishrei, and in the month of Nisan. In any event, that's the chiyuv that you're supposed to do when you're dealing with a private person. Vishal Rabin, if something belongs to the Rabin, so then you only have to check it out. Pamayim Biyova, once, twice every 50 years, once every 25 years. And Rashi explains, Kol Davar Shushal Rabin, something that belongs to the public, ain't latriach alav harbe. We don't want to trouble the rabbin so much. Again, it's an unlikely situation that it will get ruined. So you can rely upon the fact that there's a chazaka that it's still good. We don't want to trouble the rabbin. Shim titrach, because if you go trouble the rabbin, ye kol echad omer yasu chavirai. Says everybody's going to say, well, you do it. You do it. He's responsible. Nobody will do it. If it's twice every 50 years, once every 25 years, it will get done. In any event, that's what the Braisa says, the Tanakama holds. An individual checks twice every 7 years, and the Rabbin, they have to check only twice every 50 years. And on that, Rav Yehuda commented, Rav Yehuda, once was a situation, Maisa Bar Tovin Echad, Rashi explains, Ar Tovin either was the name of a person, or it was the name of his profession. So this person, Ar Tovin, or this artisan of the Artovin type of work, Shoyabodik mezuzas b'shuka elyon shel tzipori. He once went and checked the mezuzah that was in a public area of Tzipori, and he was found out by the police. Umotzo kazdor echad. Rashi elsewhere in Gemara and Shabbos says kazdor is the mamuna. He's the appointed person. He was in charge of making sure that people didn't do all sorts of public damage. He was making sure that they didn't go and do black magic over here. And therefore, this kazdor, this police officer. Here Rashi says, it was again a certain type of officer, like a saragio, a shoter, a policeman. So this officer saw this person doing what he thought was black magic, checking the mezuzahs in the shukah elyon, and he gave him a huge penalty, the not to minimum, 11 zuz, and he gave him a knas for doing this black magic of 1,000 zuz, a huge amount of money. So therefore, this sakana was the reason why Rav Yehuda said that they didn't put up a mezuzah over there. That's the rationale that Abaye brings down, Nishum Sakona. Adigwar says, how could it be? How could this guy be charged a $1,000 penalty? He was doing a mitzvah, and we have a rule, Shluchei Mitzvah, Eini Zokin. If you're doing a mitzvah, you can't be hurt. Shmuel says, that's not true. That's only applicable when it's unusual for damage to occur to a person, so then there's a certain protection that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you for doing a mitzvah. But if it's something that is shriya hezeka, hecha dekviya hezeka, the likelihood of this occurring is very high, shiny, then you can't rely upon this. This is exactly the whole story with COVID. When I spoke with the great Novominsker Zatzal, who died of COVID, Nebuchadnezzar, I had this chus to speak with him 2 or 3 weeks before he was nifter, and we were discussing the whole concept of shutting down the shuls. This was Erev Pesach last year. And the great Novominsker said, this principle, Shchiach Hezeka Shiny, when there's a likelihood of there being a problem, so then you're not allowed to go and rely upon Shluchei Mitzvah Ein Nizokin. The protection that Shluchei Mitzvah get is not against something that is likely to happen. I remember, I mentioned this many times, my Rebbeim taught me years ago that a Atzala person on the top of the Empire State Building who gets a Atzala call can't jump out the window and say Shluchei Mitzvah Ein Nizokin. It's much faster to go down that way than to take the elevator. But it's obviously going to be crushed on the ground. And you can't say, well, I'm a Shliach Mitzvah, nothing will happen to me. I'll land safely on my 2 feet and run to the Hatzalah call. No, that's Shchich HaZeka. That's going to, unfortunately, be 100% guaranteed that you're going to die if you jump out the window. So you can't say Shluch HaMitzvah Ein Nizakim. So anytime the likelihood of damage, the likelihood of Hezek is high enough, so then you're not allowed to rely upon it. Even Shluch HaMitzvah will not be protected. Where do we learn this from? This is from no less than Shmuel HaNavi. When Shmuel HaNavi was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go and anoint David as the next Melech, Shaul HaMelech was still alive. And Shmuel said, if Shaul were to find out, he's going to kill me. By Yom HaShmuel, Shmuel says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Eich Eilech, how can I possibly go and anoint David? Shaul's the Melech, Bahargani, and he'll kill me as being a Mari B'malchus. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Shmuel, by Yom HaShem, Eglas Bachar Tikach B'yodecha, go with the ruse that you're going to bring a carbon. You'll actually go bring a carbon, so you're not lying. So you'll bring Eglas Bakr, Tikach B'yodecha, and V'yamarta, and you go and tell Shaul, Lizbach L'Shem Basi, I'm bringing this as a carbon, and that's why I'm here. And not that he should realize that you're going to anoint David HaMelech. So you see, even Shmuel HaNavi, told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do something, cannot rely upon the fact that Shluch HaMitzvah Ein Nizakin, so Allah has Kama V'Kama, anybody else cannot rely upon the fact when it's Tekviya Hezekah, Shriach Hezekah, it's likely that trouble will occur. You can't rely upon the fact that you're doing a mitzvah. Tani Rav Kahana, Kameder Yehuda. Rav Kahana learned in front of Yehuda the following brisa, and it says in his brisa, Beis HaTevin. Beis HaTevin is a place where they would store tevin. Tevin is straw. Beis HaBakar, a place where they would store their animals. In other words, a barn. Beis HaEtzim, a place where they would store wood. A woodshed. Beis HaOtzros, a place where they would store all sorts of other things that they would store. So a storage place. So all of these are buildings that have a door. Peturim min HaMezuzah. None of them are obligated in Mezuzah. Why? He says in the Brisa, Nehashanoshim Neosos Behen, because the women are Neosos. What does Neosos mean? My Neosos, the Gemara asks. Rochatzos, that they would be unclothed over there, they would go wash themselves, bathe over there, and therefore it's not Bechavadik that they should have a mezuzah on a room that women are undressed in. That's why our bathrooms don't have a mezuzah on them, because people are in a state of undress in the bathroom. Now, that's what the Brisa says, that's what Rav Kahana learned in front of Rav Yehuda. Now, the Gemara says that Rav Yehuda said back to him, Amalei Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda said to Rav Kahana, really? Taimo de Rochatzos, your reasoning is the reason that none of these places are obligated in the mezuzah is only because the women are neosos, because the women are Rochatzos. That implies Hostoma Chayavim. According to you, Rav Kahana, all of these places, all of these otzos, these various types of storage chambers, either for the straw or for the wood or for other items, all of these storage places on their own, Stoma Chayavim. How can that be? Vatanya, we learned in another brisa, ref is bakar peturim min hamezuzah, a barn where the animals are stored. If the animals stay in the barn, is peturim min hamezuzah. But you're saying the only reason that the barn is peturim min hamezuzah is because the women bathe over there. The stam, the default position, according to you, that they would be chayiv. But this brisa says that they are peturim min hamezuzah. So kash on you, Rav Kahana. So therefore, Rav Yehuda says, you have it wrong. What does the word neosos mean? Elamai neosos? It means miskashtos. It means that's the place where they put all sorts of makeup on. They put all sorts of perfume on. That's what it means. Not that they're bathing and undressed over there. It's because of the miskashtos. So why should it be the ptur because they're miskashtos? Bachitani, this is what the Bryce is telling us. Afal pi shanosh miskashtos behen. Even though women are going and adorning themselves in those places. They're putting on makeup, they're putting on perfume, they're putting on all sorts of jewelry and things to make themselves pretty. Peturin, those places don't have the status of being a Beis Dira just because the women are using them for that. So that's the Chiddush, that the default position is that they are not Mechuyav in a mezuzah, they're Peturim in a mezuzah, and even if they're used by women to adorn themselves, that doesn't change it into a Beis Dira. So Rav Yehuda has Pumfaker, the opposite of Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana says that the base position is that they are in fact mechuyavos in a mezuzah, and it's only the fact that the women are unclothed in those areas that it removes the chiyav for a mezuzah. And the default position is that those places are in fact mechuyavos in mezuzah. Whereas Rav Yehuda says, no, the default position is that those places are not obligated in a mezuzah, and even if they're used as somewhat of a beis dira for the adornment activities, that doesn't change it, and still they're pater min hamezuzah. Rav Kahana doesn't accept Rav Yehuda's answer. Amalei Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana's sister Rav Yehuda, v'sha'anosim miskashtos ben p'turim, according to you, even if the women are going to adorn themselves there, it doesn't make it into a beis dira. But that's not true. We have another brayso of Tanya. Rav is b'chor b'turim mezuzah. The baseline position is that a barn is p'turim from mezuzah. However, v'sha'anosim miskashos ba chayev is mezuzah. But if women use it as a beis dira because they're adorning themselves in that place, they're putting on makeup, they're putting on jewelry, etc., it does require mezuzah. That's exactly like what I said, and that argues with what you said. You're saying even if they adorn themselves there as p'turim from mezuzah, but the brayso says no, the mechuyavos in a mezuzah in that situation. So Rav Kahana continues and he says, Ella, Maisel Habeira, what are you going to say? You're going to say it's a machlokes tanoim, miskastosh tanoihi. You're going to say the brises argue with each other. This brisa that I just brought down said that when the women go in miskastos, it makes it into a beis dira. And the other brisa says, even when they're miskastos, it doesn't make it into a beis dira. So just like you're going to argue that it's a machlokes tanoim, me too. The didinami, stoma tanoihi. I'll also say that it's a machlokes. Whereas I say that the default position is that stam these otros on chuyavos, and it's only because women go and get undressing them that would make them peturim. That's you're telling me. The other brisa says that the default position is the petura. So I'll say it's a machlokas tanoim as well. Just like you're saying it's a machlokas tanoim, I say it's a machlokas tanoim. As Rashi explains the dira maschul v'yesh mechuyavim, he says v'hainu tanoi v'kol chad min amaroi. Both Rav Kahana and Rav Yehuda both understand it that there's a machlokas tanoi. Mitaritz l'taymi Rav Kahana mitaritz the bistam. According to Rav Kahana, the stam position is that they argue in the stam situation. Are these otzros mechuyavos or not in a mezuzah? One brisa says stoma chayavim, and one brisa says stoma peturim. Avo miskashtos, but if they were to adorn themselves, the kuliyama chayavim, then everybody would agree that would in fact make it into a beis dira. Whereas Yehuda says, he says, the miskashtos, that's what a machlokas is. And the stam position is the kuliyama potter. So again, they're somewhat diametrically opposed positions of Kahana and Yehuda. Now the Gemara is going to try to prove that Rav Yehuda is wrong. First, it has to explain what I just said, the Tanya. That they argue on the how you darsh in the pasuk uksabdim amuzuzos beisecha uvisharecha. So beisecha means beischa hamiyuchad lucha. That means a house that is specifically for you for beis dira purposes for living in, as opposed to something that's an otsar. Prat, as opposed to, it's not a beis dira if it's the beis tevin, it's for storage of straw, or the beis habaka for storage of animals, beis eitzim storage of wood, the beis otzar is for storage of other things as well. Vesa she peturim min hamezuzah. So that's the default brisa that says the stam position is that they're peturim min hamezuzah. But then there's another brisa v'yesh mechayavim. There is another brisa that says that they are in fact chayavim. Now. He then says in the Braisa, Be'emes Amru, this normally means this is the halacha, Beis HaKisei, however, a bathroom, Ubeis HaBurski, a tannery is a very foul smelling place. They used Soas Klovim to go and tan the hides, and nobody would live there. Ubeis HaMercha, it's likewise a bathhouse where people are unclothed. Ubeis HaTvila, a place where you went to the mikvah, so people are unclothed. All of these. And Vishahanoshim Neosus Behen, Peturos, Minamazosa. All of these places, including where the women would be Neosos, which we'll explain in a moment how each of them are going to understand that. So these are all Peturim, Min Hamazosa. None of these have a mezuzah. Now, how do we understand this brisa? Each of them is going to explain it to their own shita. Rav Kahana Matarza Tamei, Rav Yehuda Matarza Tamei. Each of them is going to explain it in accord with their understanding of where the machlokas is, like we just said. Rav Kahana Matarza Tamei, Rav Kahana would explain this as the following way. When the pasuk says Beisacha in the brisa, it means Beischa Hamyuchad Lucha. We said it means a house that you're dwelling in. This excludes Prat Lebesa Tevin, Lebesa Barko, Lebesa Eitzel, Lebesa Otsaros, all these various types of storehouses that the default position is Now that's bistam. That's when nothing else is going on over there. The women aren't getting dressed in there. The women aren't adorning themselves in there. They're not bathing in there. The stam position is that the peturos min hamezuzah. However, v'yesh shemachayvim bistam. But that's the machlokas according to Rav Kahana. That there is an opinion that disagrees and says that these storehouses, even when nobody's getting dressed in them, nobody's using them as a beis dira to wash in, that they are mechuyavos. That's the machlokas according to Rav Kahana in the stam bias without any additional things going on in there. And he explains the end of the brayso. The emes of the halacha is beis hakisei, a bathroom, beis haburski, a place where they would go tan the hides, which again foul smelling, beis hamerachot, a place where they would bathe, beis hatvila, a place where they would go and have a mikvah. And the Shanoshim Neosus, which means, according to Rav Kahana, Omai Neosus means Rochatzos, they're bathing in there. All of these are Peturim in HaMezuzah. That is the understanding of Rav Kahana of the Braisa. We just have to explain one thing. If you're telling me that it's a Beis HaMerachotz, Ihochi, Hainu Merachotz. If the Beis HaMerachotz and Shanoshim Neosus means Rochatzos, what's the difference between a place where the woman bathe and a place where the woman bathe? If you're telling me that Neosos means Rochatzos, so that's already included in the Beis HaMerachotz. So why do you need two statements according to Rav Kahana? So Gemara says, easy teretz. Ashmina and Merachotz the Rabbin, Ashmina and Merachotz the Yochid. You need both of them to tell me that there's no difference over here whether it's a private bathhouse or a public bathhouse. Because I might have thought the Sokot Dait Chaminach, Merachotz the Rabbin, the Nofri Zuameh. I might have said that a public bathhouse, which has so many people going to it, is going to be essentially filled with zuhama. Zuhama is an offensive type of an odor, and therefore that, and only that type of a Beis HaMerachotz, would be, in this situation, Petura from a mezuzah. However, a Merachotz Yochid, a private bathhouse, which has a minimal amount of an offensive odor to it, a little bit of zuhama only, the Lonofi Zuhama doesn't have so much, I might have thought on my own, Emu Lichayev B'mezuzah, that should be, in fact, obligated in having a mezuzah. So the chiddush of the brice is both the public and the private bathhouses, kamash v'law, and both of them are exempt from having a mezuzah. This is the way Rav Kahana understands his brice. Lushitase, that the basic machlokas is on yes or no, do these places require a mezuzah, and has nothing to do with the fact that the women inside of it are going to change the din. Rav Yehuda matarza tamei. Rav Yehuda goes according to his sheet, and it says no. The machlokis is not over there. And Hachitani, this is where he learns the brayso. When the pasuk says, "Usavtam amuzuzos beischa uvisherecha beischa," means beischa hamiyuchad lucha. That's your house specifically used for dira purposes, and that therefore excludes probably beis hatevin, ubeis habaku, beis haetzim, beis hatoros. All these different types of storage chambers that have doorways, they do not need a mezuzah. Shepetur min a mezuzah. That's the default position. And this includes even afilu miskashtos, even if the women are going and adorning themselves, they put on perfume, makeup, etc. In these places, that doesn't turn it into a beis dira. But then there is the other side, v'yesh mechuyavim b'miskashtos. There is an opinion that says that if women adorn themselves over there, that does turn it into a beis dira. That, according to Yehuda, is a machlokis. But the stam position, avol stam, deviya kol poter, without the women going and being miskashtos, everybody would agree that it's definitely poter. And when the Braisa says, be'em asabru, what is the halacha, beis hakisi, beis haburski, beis hamerachos, beis hatvila, all of these types of usages which have a door on them for the bathroom or the tannery, or the bathhouse, or the mikvah, so all of these, alpha pisha noshim miskashtos, even though women use them as a beis dira, all of these are patur min ha-mezuzah because of the excessive amount of offensive odor that's over there, the zuhama, and therefore, that is the way Rav Yehuda understands this brisa. Now the Gemara is going to schlag up Rav Yehuda. Well, Rav Yehuda, stoma divrei ha-kol poter, according to Rav Yehuda, he says that the default position is, in a stam situation, is that everybody says it's patura min ha-mezuzah, and it's only if you have women that sometimes use it as a beis dira, that would change the halacha according to some, not according to others. I'll show you that that's not true because what Tanya says in the same pasuk, it says bisharecha, that includes echot shari batim. We had this earlier. This includes the shari batim, the echot shari chatzeros, the echot shari medinos, the echot shari ayoros. That's how we started off this year with this brisa. And then it continues. It says likewise, v'lulin. Also, if you have a chicken coop, umasvein. Masvein is like a beis hatevin. I'm not sure if what's the difference between a masvein and a beis hatevin that we brought down earlier. So this is a place where they store straw. The otzra yayin, this is specifically an otzra of yayin. We didn't mention that previously, although it was included in the general otzros, a place where they store wine. The otzra shemen, a place where they store oil. All of these, chayavim b'mezuzah. This brisa says clearly that they're all obligated in the mezuzah. Now, yocho, shani, marbe, I might have thought to include as well, and we're turning to the yud aleph, omid beis, I would have said, this should also include beis shar, even a gateway entrance into a house, or an achsadra. Achsadra is like an open area, that's a porch area in front of the houses, umir pesis. Pesis is like a second floor area. There's a long area actually says Oruch Nepitzke Alios Harbe, the Hulan Olin Derosham. This is the way to get into the apartments on the second floor. So all of these, I would have thought, also might be included in Bishorecha. Tamalom, he says, no, bias. That teaches us, ma bias miyuchad ledira. It has to be something that's specifically made for dwelling purposes. Yatzu elu she'ein miyuchadim ledira. So that excludes these types of sharim that are not included in bias. They're not specifically for dira purposes. They're really entranceways, and entranceways aren't dira. Now, this is very problematic because we said before that entranceways that do lead to houses, in fact, do require a mezuzah. So what's going on over here? So some of the Rishonim answer that we're dealing here with these are all sorts of types of structures that don't lead to a Beis Adira, and therefore on their own, without leading to a Beis Adira, they wouldn't be obligated in mezuzah. In any event, that's the understanding over here of this brisa. We haven't yet gotten to the question of Yehuda. Now we will. Yochol Shani Marbeh. I might have thought that we should also include in the obligation for mezuzah Af Beis Hakisei, Beis Haburski, Beis Hamerchos, Beis Hatfilo. All the other things that we said before are not included. But if I just had this alone, Bisharecha, I would have said they should be included as well. Talmud Lomer, bias. No, we have Beisecha uVisharecha. So bias means Ma Bias HaOsu LeKavod. It has to be a house that is made for B'Chavadika usage, B'Chavad purposes. Avkol HaOsu LeKavod. It only includes things that are made for B'Chavadika purposes, as opposed to all of these, the bathroom, the tannery, etc. Yotz Eilu She'en Asun LeKavod. They're not made for B'Chavadika usage. They're made for more personal, private usage, such as bathing, etc. And then here's the kasha, Yochol Shani Marbeh. I would have thought to include Har HaBayis, the Beis HaMikdash area, and all the Lishkos, the Lishkos of the Beis HaMikdash, the Azoras, and all the Azoras in the Beis HaMikdash. They should also have a mezuzah, Talmud Lomar, Bayis. Pasuk tells us it has to be like a Bayis. Ma Bayis Shuchol. A Bayis is by definition not a Kadosh Dik of structure. It's not the Beis HaMikdash, not the Azoras. So it tells us, Afkol Shuchol, it only requires something that is chol to have a mezuzah, and therefore Yatzu Elu, all these lishkos of the Beis HaMikdash, they are not included Shein Kodesh, because they're Kodesh. Now, this brisa clearly states that the different otsros, such as the Masbein, the Otsus Yayin, the Otsus Shemen, are Chayiv in a mezuzah. So how can you, Rav Yehuda, say that nobody holds that these default position is that they're not mechuyav in a mezuzah, and it's only if they're miskastos that they have some that say yes and some that say no. You said kulei amo lo pligi. You said that everybody agrees that they're peturim in hamezuzah in the default, unless you have noshim miskastos, and then there's a machlokas. Here, this brisa clearly argues with you, and the Gemara concludes to you. In fact, Rav Yehuda shlugged up. The understanding of Rav Kahane is correct, but the understanding of Rav Yehuda doesn't fit in with this brisa. There is an opinion that says that in fact these are obligated in a mezuzah, not like Rav Yehuda said that nobody says they're obligated in a mezuzah. Gemara continues and says, Tani, Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, kamei de Rava. Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda learned in front of Rava the following, and it says in this brisa, it says, Shisha Sharim, six things are peturim in a mezuzah, are exempt from a mezuzah. What are these, quote, six things? So number one is Beis HaTevin, a storehouse that stores straw. Number two is Beis HaBakar, a storehouse, a barn, that stores animals. Number three is a Beis Haitzim, a storehouse that stores wood. Number four is a Beis Hatzaros, in general, storehouses. That's number four. Number five, Vishar HaMadai. These are certain types of gates that were in the country of Madai. Rashi tells us, Shosin Bekipa, they were made like a dome-like structure. Shekin also Bemadai. This was the common way that they constructed gates in Madai. That was number five. Number six, Vishar She'ein Makora. We have a shara that doesn't have a roof on top of it. As Rashi says, shu poritz malamala. It's open on the top, legamre, me'en kisu. It doesn't have a lintel on the top. It just has a doorpost. It doesn't have a lintel. That's number six. And then in this brisa, for which we said there are six things, it says number seven, b'shar she'enu gavoh asara. And if the gate is not 10 tefachim in height, a tefach again is between 3.5 and 4 inches, so it's roughly, it's not a meter in height, about 35 to 40 inches. This is roughly a meter. So if it doesn't have that height, so it also doesn't require mezuzah. So the first and obvious question is, you just said that there would be six things that are peturim mezuzah, and we labeled seven over here. So the Gemara says, Amale, Rava tells Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, you're telling me this brisa holds six things, pasachto b'shisho, b'solkos b'shiva, and then you said seven things. What's going on? So Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda says, yes, there's a machlokas on one of them. There were six that there's no machlokas on, but there's one that's a machlokas on. That's why I said that there's six, because it really is six, so there's no matter machlokas, and the seventh one is a machlokas. Omale, sharam adi tanoyi. I shouldn't have listed all of them together like that, but the sharam adi, this like dome type of a gate, That is, in fact, the machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, the Tanya. Because we learned in another brisa, kippah, a domed or curved type of gateway. So Rav Meir mechayiv mezuzah. Rav Meir says, in fact, you're obligated to put a mezuzah on such an archway. And the Chachamim, they disagree. And the Chachamim say, potrin, you're not mechayiv to put a mezuzah on this type of an archway. Now, what is this machlokas? The words are explained as follows. We've had this previously, the whole question of chokikin or not. Do we halachically view something as being chiseled out or not chiseled out, which we'll explain. If you don't remember, we had this previously in a number of places, we'll explain it again now. So, Vishavin, both Rav Meir and the Chacham hold, Shim Yesh Biraglo Asora. If, in fact, that as you go up the doorway, so the arch only begins to go and curve after you're 10 tefachim tall, so then, if you're at least 4 tefachim wide in the bottom, and you're 10 tefachim tall going straight up on both sides before you start to arch, so then even the Chachamim amoda to Rav Meir shechayeves b'mezuzah. In that situation, the fact that there's a curvature at the top, an archway at the top, that doesn't change anything around. You have a full-fledged door, which is at least 4 tefachim wide and at least 10 tefachim straight up vertical on both sides, so even if above the 10 tefachim it curves, that doesn't take away the chiyev to put on a mezuzah. The Chachamim amoda to Rav Meir in that situation. And Abaye says as follows, Omer Abaye, Dekuli Amo Givoa Asara Vein Biraglo Shlosha, in the situation where it is 10 tefachim tall, however, the Ein Biraglo Shlosha, the curvature starts where it arches even below 3 tefachim high. So that's considered as if it's curved from the bottom because of the principle of Lovud. So within 3 tefachim of the ground, so if it starts to curve already at that point in time, so then Lav Klumu. Even Rav Meir says that that is not something that we view as a doorway. It is too small. And we don't say Chokikin in that situation, even according to Rav Meir. Likewise, Inami, Yesh Baraglo Shlosha, if the vertical component on each side does go up to be Tvachim, but the archway doesn't go up a total of 10 Tvachim, then Gvo Asara, it only goes up 8 Tvachim, 9 Tvachim, so then everybody agrees that we don't say chokikin lahashlim in that situation as well, v'lav klumhi. Even Rav Meir is mowed in that situation. So again, the first case we brought down, the chacham mowed to Rav Meir, that if the walls go up 10 tefachim vertically and they're separated 4 tefachim apart, even the chacham mowed to Rav Meir. And these two cases, where either the archway starts within the bottom 3 tefachim or it doesn't even get up to 10 tefachim, Rav Meir is mowed to the chachamim, v'lav klumhi. It certainly isn't considered a doorway that has a mezuzah, a requirement to have a mezuzah. So where do Rav Meir and the Chachamim argue? Only they argue in the following case. Lo nechilku, Rav Meir, the Chachamim argue, ela begvoa asara, the total height of the archway is more than 10 tefachim, the yesh baragla shlosha, and the first 3 tefachim on each side are vertically going up without any curvature, but the ein barach bo arba, but at the point where it's above 10 tefachim, it's not 4 tefachim wide. In other words, the archway starts somewhere between 3 tefachim and below 10 tefachim. So, in the area between 3 tefachim and 10 tefachim, it starts to curve over, and it goes up to a height more than 10 tefachim. So, in this situation, you could theoretically chisel out the vertical component. You can see this in a nice diagram in the art scroll, diagram number 18, footnote number 18, if you can't understand what I'm saying outside. What you basically have over here is the potential to chisel out a doorway that would be at least 4 tefachim wide and at least 10 tefachim tall vertical on both of the doorposts, but it's not physically there, but it could be physically there. You would have enough room to chisel out in this doorway the perfect doorway that everybody agrees that you would be chayav a mezuzah on. So Rebeya Savar, Chokikin Lashlim, we halachically view this chiseled potential area as being chiseled, and Rebeya would obligate it in a mezuzah. Versus the Rabbanan Savar, in Chokikin Lashlim, we don't do this. You look at what you have, not what you potentially could have, and therefore, that's the machlokus between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, and that's the machlokus on the Shar Hamadoi, which is why, when Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda said to Rava, there are 7, it really was 6, and the machlokis between Rav Meir and the Chacham is on the Shar HaMadi, number 7. Tana Rabbanan, we learn another braisa, Beis HaKnesses, Ubeis HaIsha, Ubeis HaShutvim, all types of these structures, a shul, or a woman's house, either she owns the house, or she rents the house, possibly, Ubeis HaShutvim, or a house that's owned or rented in a partnership, all of these, Chayevis Mezuzah. The braisa says, all of these have an obligation to put a mezuzah up on the doors of the shul, of a woman's house, or of a partnership house. Mar says, Pshita, why would you think otherwise? Who would have thought that any of these are not mechuyavos in a mezuzah? The Gemara says, no, there's a havamina. I might have thought when the pasuk says, beisecha, I might have said below Beisa, as opposed to her house. It means your man's house and not a woman's house. Beisecha, likewise, it means it has to be your house, below Botehem, not a jointly owned dwelling like a shul or a partnership type of a house. So I might have thought, because it says Uksatim Amuzos Beisecha, that would exclude a Beis Isha or a Beis HaShutvin or a Beis HaKnesses. Kamash V'lam, that it doesn't. Gemara says, no, why not? Taka, that was a good drasha. Beisecha should have said Beisecha V'lo Beisah, Beisecha V'lo Bateyam. Why isn't that a good drasha? Vei Mahachanami. It sounds like you have a very good drasha there. Why is that not correct? Amakra, because the continuation of the pasuk we read in the Shema, Leman Yirbu Yimeichem Yimei V'neichem. Go and put up mezuzahs on your doorways in order that you should be rewarded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving you Arichus Yomim Bishonim, that you and your children should have Arichus Yomim. Now, do only men require Arichus Yomim? Hani Baruch Hai, men only require Arichus Yomim. Women don't require it. Partnerships don't require it. Shuls don't require it. Hani Lo Baruch Hai. So obviously, they also need it. So therefore, that's why we don't darshan it. Beisecha v'lo beisah, beisecha v'lo shutvin. Or says, no, then what do you need the word beisecha for? If you're not darshaning it, so then why do you use it? El beisecha lomali. So what's the purpose of the word beisecha if you're not darshaning it the way we suggested? So the Gemara says, no, you need that for a different drasha. Beisecha comes to teach us kiddur rabba, like Rabba taught us. What did Rabba teach us? Rabba's teaching us which side of the doorway does the mezuzah go on. The Amar Rabba, Rabba says, beisecha means derech bi'asecha, the way that you come in. Now, a person normally comes in with his right foot first. Most people are righties in their arms and also righties in their legs. Right? You go to kick a soccer ball. So most people will kick it with their right foot rather than with a left foot because they're right-footed, just like they're right-handed. So therefore, the normal way for a person to go in is to step in on the right side. So derech biyoscha is how we darshan, according to Rava, the word beisecha. The akar inish kari, when a person lifts up his foot to go inside, the amina akar bereisha, since most people are right-footed, they go, therefore, into the house on the right side. And it says you should put the mezuzah, usaftom al mezuzos beisecha, meaning biyoscha, on the side that you enter into, which is the right side. And that's why the mezuzah is put on the right side as you enter into a house. That's how we learn out Beisecha, and not to teach me Beisecha v'lo Beisa. That's an incorrect drasha, but Beisecha means Derech B'yosecha, on the right side. That's why you need it. Whereas another Brisa, Tanya Yidach, the Brisa learns as follows, Beis HaKnesses, a shul, or Beis HaShutvin, a partnership, or Beis HaIsha, a woman's house, mitamim b'negoyim. Just like we said that mechuyavos in mezuzah, so too, they all can have a nega. We just went through Parshas Tazria and Metzora, and it taught us all about nige batim, and those that finished the Mishnah Yomis, which Mishnah Yomis, by the way, is starting tomorrow, Monday, on Zayin Sivan, it's starting Parah. So everybody is very, very much invited to learn those halachos. You do the Daf Yomi, you're only doing the Gemaras that have Bavli, with the exception, of course, Shkolim that we just did with the Yushami, but you're not doing really Shisha Sidri Mishnah. So I invite people to join on Monday on Zayin Sivan with the start of a Masechta Spar. It's a beautiful Masechta, and you go through sugyas that you're not going to come through if you do the Daf Yomi only. In any event, it says in this Braisa that you can get a nega on these types of structures, a Beis HaKnesses, a Beis HaShutvin, and a Beis HaIsha. Gemara says, Pshita, again, why would you think no? So Gemara says, no, Ma'u Detema, because the Pasuk tells us, Ubo Asher Lo Habayis. It tells us in last week's Parsha, if you enter into such a house, so it says, Asher Lo Habayis, his house, Lo, below law. So that, again, implies like Beisecha meant, we thought the Havamin was your house, below Beisah, your house, and not the house of Shutvin. So to over here, it says, Asher lo habayis, your house, as opposed to lo v'lo law, not her house, and lo v'lo lehen, and not a partnership house or a Beis HaKnesses. So that drasha is incorrect. Mor says, why? It's a good drasha. Deim hachanami. Maybe that really is the way we should darshan it. And maybe a Beis HaKnesses, a Beis HaShutvin, and a Beis HaIsha cannot, in fact, be Matami bin Nagoyim. Gemara says, no, that's an incorrect drasha. On the Makor, the Pasuk says, in the next Pasuk, Vedeis Eretz Achuz Eschem. It says, no, any house that you have is, in fact, capable of getting these Negoyim. Gemara says, then, what do you need the words lo? Ela lo, lomeli. Uva asher lo, habayis. What does that come to teach us if it doesn't come to exclude women, doesn't come to exclude partnerships or shuls? So Gemara says, Misha miyache beis lo. This is the famous drasha that somebody that's a stingy person. He doesn't want to lend out any of his things. So his house is my house. It's my house and not your house. Everything inside it is mine and not yours. So this is teaching us a very important lesson. Shena Rotsa Lahashul Kela. If a person wants to be stingy, doesn't want to lend out his his utensils. But Omer Shelo, and when somebody asks him, can I borrow your lawnmower? He says, I'm sorry, I don't have a lawnmower. No, somebody asks him, can I borrow your hammer? He says, I'm sorry, I don't have a hammer. Somebody asks him, can I borrow your coffee pot? He says, I'm sorry, I don't have a coffee pot. So the person always says, Shelo. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, we'll see if you have it or not. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mefarsimo, Hashem will show you that this guy is a liar, because he's going to make his house have a nega, and before you call the house a nega, you take everything out of your house so it doesn't become tameh. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mefarsimo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make it that he has to be clearing out his entire house. So when he has to clear out his entire house from all the utensils that are inside of it, so he's going to show everybody, I did have a lawnmower, I did have a coffee pot, I did have the hammer. So therefore, the Torah comes to teach us that you won't get a nega if you lend your stuff out. If you don't lend your stuff out, then that person will get negayim on his house, possibly. Now the Gemara says, Ubeis HaKnesses, Mimetamin Negoyim. Okay, you just showed us that Ubeis HaKnesses in the Braisa does get Negoyim. Is this really true, though? For Tanya, we learned in another Braisa, Yocho, you bought the Knessios, or bought the Medrashos, Mitamim Negoyim. I might have thought that it's possible that Ubeis HaKnesses, or Ubeis Medrash, or Shul, or Ubeis Medrash can, in fact, get Tumas Negoyim. Talmud Lomer, that they can, because it says, Uba Asher Lo Habayis, this Pasuk, Mishem Yuchad Lo. This comes to exclude something that belongs to the general public. So this drasha is in fact darshan by the braisa that a base knesses or a base medrash does not in fact get negoyim. So how are you going to resolve this seemingly stira between these two braises? The first braisa we learned said that a base knesses and a base medrash didn't specifically mention a base medrash, just a base knesses, but the same thing would apply for base knesses and base medrash. So the first braisa says that they are capable of getting negoyim, and the second braisa said that they can't get negoyim. So the three terutzim that we're going to give. The first one is lokasha, harevei harabanan. This is machlokes to the revei and rabbanan. The tanya, what's this machlokes? The braisa says, beis haknesses sheyesh bo beis dira lechazan haknesses, a shul that has an apartment within it for the steward of the shul, the sextant of the shul. So in this situation, this shul can be metame tumas negoyim, and it's chayav b'mezuzah, because it's a beis dira. However, v'she'ein bo beis dira, but if it doesn't have such an apartment for the sextant of the shul, for the person who's in charge of the local stuff in the shul, for the executive director of the shul, so in that situation, that's where we have a machlokas. Rameyah is machayav. Rameyah says, even in that situation, the shul can get a chayav of a mezuzah, and therefore the shul could accept negayim. The chacham in poetry, and the chacham say no. So this is a machlokas tanoim. The braisa that it says, the Beis Knesses can get negoyim, just like the Beis Knesses is a mechuyavos in a mezuzah, is Rav Meir's opinion. And the braisa that it says that they don't get negoyim is the opinion that they also don't have a chiv of a mezuzah, and that is the opinion of the Chachamim. That's teretz number one. Bibay Yisema, teretz number two. No, both of these braises are going according to the Chachamim that say that you're not obligated to put a mezuzah and they don't get negoyim in general. So how come one braise says you do get? That's exactly what they're arguing about. Or they're really not arguing with each other, they're talking about two different scenarios. So one braise that it says you're mechuyev in a mezuzah and you can get negoyim is when it has a beis dira. The shamish who lives there, so that's why you can get a chiv of a mezuzah and can get negoyim, because it's a residence. And the other braise that it says it doesn't need a mezuzah and it doesn't accept negoyim is when there is no beis dira. That's teretz number two. Alternatively, you might say I'm a teretz number three. No, the last baby is zero. Both braises are talking about when there is no apartment over there. So how come one braise says you mechuyev mezuzah and you can get negoyim, and the other braise says you're not mechuyev mezuzah and you can't get negoyim? We turn to Yud Beis. I'm an aleph. So it depends. The first one is referring to a krach. A krach is a big city, and a kfar is a small city. And the difference is as follows. In the big city, Rashi explains, top Rashi, the krachim, shumakum shvakim, it's a place of markets, umiskapsin shom, nimikomus habi, and people come from all over. So in this situation, this either beis knesses or this beis medrash is made for all the world's usage. Fiyasuya l'chola bol ispalo. And then it doesn't get ownership. It's not a small membership that only owns this building. It's basically made for the whole world to use. As opposed to the Kfarim, Rashi says, the next Rashi, it's a small little shtot. It's a small little village. There's 20 people in the shul, and they're the members. They're the only people that use this. So that's considered like shutvim. And therefore, kol baal of nikarim, every baal in this shul is known. Barihu kebeis ha-shutvim. So this is like a beis shutvim, which we said does in fact have an obligation for a mezuzah and could in fact get negoyim. So that's the stira between these two braises. The Brisa that says that they're obligated is talking about a small little town, a kfar. And the Brisa says there's no obligation, that's talking about a krach. More questions this and says, really? But it says, are you telling me that the big cities, they don't accept Tumas Negoyim? But Tanya, it says in another Brisa, Achuz Aschem, Beis Achuz Aschem. And that comes to teach us, Achuz Aschem, Mitama bin Negoyim. In general, big cities are Mitama bin Negoyim. Only Yerushalayim, in Yerushalayim, Mitama bin Negoyim. Only Yerushalayim is not able to accept Negoyim, the houses in Yerushalayim. But the other places, the other Krachim are. And Amar Yehuda, Yehuda says, Ani lo shamati ela makom mikdash buvat. I only heard that the Beis HaMikdash itself doesn't get Negoyim. Implication being, that all Batei Medrashos, all Batei Knesios are Mitama bin Negoyim, even in Yerushalayim, the Afal Gab Dikrachim Ninu, even though they're large towns that own this. And in other words, as Rashi said, it's owned by all the people of the world. So this is a kasha on your explanation, the third teretz that says there's a difference between the Krachim and the Kfarim that doesn't seem to be true from this Brisa. So Mori says, look and see what Rabbi Yehuda really said. You misunderstood what Rabbi Yehuda said. Rabbi Yehuda said, "Ani lo shamati ela makom mikdash." He didn't mean makom mikdash. Ema, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, "Ani lo shamati ela makom mikudash bilvad." I heard that these types of places that are mikudash, not mikdash, but anything that is holy, such as a shul, a base knesses, or a base medrash, a yeshiva. So those places, lo shamati ela makom mikudash bilvad, they can't accept negayim. So therefore, that is a good valid teretz. When we say hod the krachim, hod the kfarim, so it's really referring not to over here a krach in general, but it's referring to a krach with the shuls inside the krach that doesn't accept negoyim, that doesn't require mezuzah, and therefore that is teretz number 3, and that is good teretz. And with this, we conclude today's shir.